We'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Title of my sermon this morning is Honor Your Wife. Peter now turns his attention onto husbands in the household. He's covered slaves, he's covered wives, and so now he speaks to the husbands. The word likewise has to do with the fact that this is a God-ordained institution, and there are God-ordained obligations that come together with the institution that the husband is to observe, the husband is to follow. And so the way the household is set up, there are these different obligations and responsibilities that are given. So likewise, you have your obligations and your responsibilities. All the different components of the household were ordained by God. And each of these different parts have parameters and responsibilities that God has defined. And so, likewise, husbands are accountable to the Lord for what they have been called to do in and for their households. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife, which is assumed that's kind of a... And it's in the singular and the Greek, and that's kind of showing husbands dwell with your wife, to sidestep any confusion as to dwell with your wives. Oh, there's a little loophole. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. According to knowledge is a better translation than with understanding. Paul said to the Romans, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." Romans 11:33. And he told the Colossians that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. Paul told the Corinthians that through grace they were enriched in everything by Christ, in all knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 5. You're enriched with all knowledge in Christ, because all knowledge and wisdom is hid in Christ. The way we become knowledgeable about anything is by receiving knowledge from Christ about that thing, whether it is a duty or whether it's information about some other aspect of his creation. We receive our knowledge from him. How do we relate to this? What are we to think about that? So Peter says, husbands, in order to fulfill your God-given responsibilities as a husband, you need to depend totally upon God's revealed knowledge on the topic. What knowledge do husbands need to have? A husband is called to live with his wife according to knowledge. He has to live in terms of knowledge. Husbands do not know what this is on their own, and therefore they cannot be presumptuous about this. Peter alerts husbands to the fact that their role is not up for grabs. That is, it cannot be defined any old how. Husbands are immediately made aware that they are accountable to him who is the only source of knowledge, and in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If the scriptures say, dwell according to knowledge, the first thing you got to say, I have to find out what that means. I got to find out what that knowledge consists of. And husbands are not allowed to determine on their own what that ought to look like. A husband has to dwell with his wife according to knowledge, and since there is only one source of knowledge, husbands are forced to find that in Scripture. For a husband to guess at what God expects him to do, to guess at how he ought to live with his wife, is an example of great folly. I'm going to guess at this. Peter is not telling husbands to study their wives in order to find out how to live with them according to knowledge. He's not saying that. But rather, he is telling husbands to look to the Lord and seek his knowledge with respect to how they ought to live with their wives. Now, as Peter has already done when speaking to slaves and wives, he again does here when speaking to husbands. He explains what he means. He unpacks it. He doesn't leave us guessing and waiting. Oh, what is that? Dwell according to knowledge. Well, he goes on to explain what knowledge is. To live in accordance with knowledge, and this is how you do that. Peter says, I'm going to tell you what knowledge is. You see, people act in accordance with what they know. And they also assume that what they know about any topic or subject makes them knowledgeable about that topic. I know that. I'm knowledgeable about that. We presume that. They believe that they are acting according to knowledge, don't they? Don't we? I'm acting according to knowledge in everything I do. Every person in the world, in every aspect of their lives, believes that they are acting according to knowledge. Whether marriage, family, economics, politics, education, whatever aspect they're acting in, they're acting according to knowledge in their own perspective. They all think that they are knowledgeable about the things, and yet we see such opposite ideas, such opposite things are taking place. But all of them are convinced they're acting according to knowledge. What people know is like a foundation. And this foundation determines what the visible structure will look like. That's what we rest on, my knowledge. The foundation, in a sense, produces what others will see. The building gets erected on the foundation. And you can see this stuff going on, building going on over there in the distance, and you don't know what it is, but the foundation has been laid. You still don't know what it is. And then the structure starts to be raised on the foundation, and that's what we see. People act according to what they know, but what they know is not necessarily true knowledge, right? Peter says that true knowledge begins with the foundation. It is the foundation, and once the true foundation is laid, then the visible structure will be shaped by that foundation. And so he's laying the foundation. When the foundation is in place, the structure will naturally develop in accordance with that foundation. So when Peter says husbands are to live with their wives according to knowledge, this calls them to look to the Lord to obtain their knowledge and how they are to live. The husband and wife are both vessels. But the wife is the weaker vessel. And I suggest that it includes the aspect of physical strength as well as the aspect of positional strength. She's weaker. Because of the God-ordained role of the husband to provide for and protect his wife, he was given physical strength in order to carry out his responsibilities. And while you can find exceptions to this, nevertheless, for the most part, husbands have more physical strength than their wives. The second aspect of weakness, as I said, is the wife's position in the family. Her position is assigned by the Lord, and it is a position that is under her husband's authority. She is subject to him. What we constantly come across in the world is the exploitation of those who are underneath somebody else. The exploitation of those who are weak. And people with authority abuse their authority. They use their physical strength or they use their greater authority and position to serve themselves by taking advantage of those under them. This is something that is prevalent around the world in the realm of the family. Different cultures, different religions, different times, ages, all show the same problem of wives being exploited, of being treated as second-class citizens, of being treated more like slaves and pieces of property than as wives. It's a serious issue. Continues in our day. God's word to husbands is that they are to give honor to their wives as the weaker vessel. This means husbands are to give honor to the weaker vessel. Honor the weaker vessel. Honor is a manifestation of esteem. it is to highly value, and thus one's way of thinking about and one's actions toward your wife are compatible with honor. That is an honorable way of relating, an honorable way of communicating. The honor that husbands are giving to their wives is because she is the weaker vessel. God tells husbands to embrace this perspective of their wives because he ordained their position, he ordained their role in the family, and he has designed their bodies. He designed their bones and their muscles. God designed wives to function within a structure where they would be vulnerable. That's what he designed. However, he tells husbands to give honor to the weaker vessel. God's design results in great beauty, in great strength, and great effectiveness of the family unit. His design is designed unto that end, and these parts together create that. If you look around, you notice that the natural tendency in fallen men is to dominate and exploit their wives, and they do this believing it proves that they are powerful. It manifests great power. Many cultures around the world believe that their culture is superior to the surrounding cultures. Our culture is superior to yours. And they have aspirations of world dominion, and they believe that the obvious subjugation of their wives to a position of practical slavery is the key to their power, and it will help their culture conquer other cultures. They believe that. They act in terms of it. They manifest that. The structure they build is laid upon that foundation. That's their power. God says, no. The world-conquering culture is Christianity. And at the very heart of God's kingdom advancement unto this end is the family unit. The whole is dependent upon the strength of the parts, and that makes up this whole. And thus, the power of the family unit includes husbands giving honor to the weaker vessel. Real strength, real effectiveness, and real beauty resides in the principle of honoring the weaker vessel. The family unit is strongest when each part functions in accordance with God's design for each part. As we have seen, or as I've said, some cultures believe that strength is attained and manifested by husbands exploiting their wives. Our Western culture believes its strength is found by regarding husbands and wives as exact equal in all dealings and all functionings. That's the Western message. Find it in Bible scholars. Some of my commentaries are saying, well, things have changed. And they'll use this verse to back that up. And we're bombarded with this message from every side. We are told over and over that women are able to do anything men can do. They are able to perform at the highest levels. They could become the best special forces in this country. Brethren, it will not happen. It cannot happen. It was never meant to happen. They were not designed for that. They were not made for that. That's not their place. And for me to even suggest that? What am I? You make up the word. Say it under your breath. Am I degrading woman when I say that? Am I belittling woman when I say that? This frenzy, this like almost like a rabid, passionate, angry reaction that I would get for saying what I've just said. Why? What does it come from? What is its source? Its source is war with God. Its source is war with the kingdom of God. And so it promotes an idea that is at war with the kingdom in order to overthrow the kingdom, in order to undermine the kingdom, in order to prevent the advancement of God's purposes. It's war. That's where it comes from. Because they're assaulting the core of the family unit, and the family unit is at the heartbeat of the kingdom advancement. And so you go to the very core and you start to dismantle the core, and then everything else falls apart. They want to redesign the core. They want women to take on roles that God never intended them to take on. They want the family to take on this confusion. Well, who is in charge? I've read popular Christian books. They can't bring themselves to say it's 50-50. It's kind of 49-51. Yep. No, get back to Peter. Peter is laying the foundation. And we need to follow what he's saying. Because otherwise we reduce the strength and the effectiveness of the family unit, which God uses as the core to advance his purposes. When this unit is misfiring, the whole engine is not working, is it? That's so you get the parts, you get the little details down here of the family unit, you get that to misfire. And the whole structure, the whole force of this forward movement of the kingdom, spluttering and jolting and misfiring. So now it starts to make sense as to why the push for equality in every aspect of life, why it's so passionately and aggressively promoted. It's an attempt to neutralize one of the most basic and vital integers, one of the most basic and vital building blocks in the kingdom. If you get this powerful engine compromised, this powerful engine of family units, if you get them misfiring, then the strength and the power of God's design produces, that God's design produces in these units, it will not be attained. You can't get the power. You can't get the strength. You can't get the force of what each little unit thrusts forward. It's not moving. And so family units, when they're misfiring and spluttering, it impacts the effectiveness of the whole. But God determined to advance his purposes through means. And one of the means he uses are family units functioning in the way that he designed them to function. Husbands are to live with their wives according to the knowledge that the weaker vessel is in every way perfectly designed to maximize the strength and the effectiveness of the family unit. That design is perfect. And vital to this perfection of the functioning of the family unit is when the stronger vessel honors the weaker vessel. That's an integral part of the makeup and the structure. By appreciating the perfect design of the weaker vessel, honor her as the weaker vessel. In car engines and many other places, one can find a diaphragm pump, which is made up of a number of different parts, but you have a pretty tough outer shell of this part with tough nuts and bolts maybe holding these two pieces together, but in the middle there's a diaphragm. And so you've got this pretty unbreakable outer casing, but this flimsy diaphragm inside. I'm not calling any lady flimsy, by the way. It's an illustration, so it's not perfect. And for that pump to work effectively, the diaphragm has to be of a much weaker substance than the frame, than the casing. The diaphragm cannot try to be the outer casing, and the outer casing cannot try to be the diaphragm. They are to function within their designed roles, and when they do that, then together they make up an effective pump. You see, Peter wasn't telling husbands to honor their wives even though they're weak. Okay, I'll condescend to give some honor to this weak vessel. No, he's telling them, honor them as they are weak. Honor their design, honor their role, because God has designed this weakness in order to enhance the strength and the effectiveness of the family. That tank that's rolling down the road, he's got a diaphragm in there. And if he didn't have a diaphragm, that tank's going nowhere. You see, the husband is honoring the weaker vessel because he understands why she is weaker. He understands it. He's got knowledge. Oh, wow. This is glorious. This is incredible. This is amazing. And that's what he's honoring. This perfection. If you don't have knowledge about a diaphragm pump and you strip it down, you might say, this thin little diaphragm, it's going to break, man. This is no good. Let's make a strong one. And you make a strong one, and you ain't got no pump. You ain't got no car or tank or whatever you need. You ain't going nowhere. But if you have knowledge about the pump, if you understand it, you marvel at that diaphragm. You think, do you know what this thing is doing? Do you understand how this works? Do you understand how powerful my car is now? See, it's understanding. It's knowledge. Knowledge from God. This is, oh, I understand why I'm to honor this. And it's weak for a reason in this particular areas. And when you understand the diaphragm, you also understand how to handle it. Right, don't you? That's another reason why husbands are to honor their wives, and that is because they are joint heirs with them of the grace of life. There's absolute equality when it comes to each person's value and standing in the eternal family of God. Redeemed wives and husbands were both elected in eternity, and their sins were fully paid for in Christ's body. This doesn't break down the family authority structure. Husbands being over their wives in no way contradicts their equal standing in God's eternal family. And so husbands honor their wives because God places such a high value upon them. Such a high value that he sent his son to die in their place so that they might fully partake of all the blessings of grace. Husbands are not more saved than wives. Husbands are not more worthy of salvation than wives. Husbands don't cost the father less to be saved than wives cost him. All of our sins cost the death of Christ. Husbands didn't contribute less to Christ's suffering. Husbands and wives are equally loved and equally precious in God's eyes. They have equally vital roles in his purposes. And so there's no basis for husbands to think that their functional position of authority makes them superior to their wives. Rather, when husbands live with their wives according to God's knowledge, then they honor the weaker vessel, knowing that their wives are perfectly designed for maximum strength and effectiveness of the family. They honor their wives because God regards them as exactly equal with their husbands in his eternal family, being heirs together of the grace of life. And Peter ends off by saying that husbands, if they reject all of this knowledge, all of this revelation from God about their wives, how husbands ought to think about them and thus honor them, then of what point is there for further communion between the husband and the Lord? If this means nothing, what are we going to speak about? What's the basis for communion if you reject me on this? If you exalt yourself, if you choose a different path, if you invent a different perspective to project upon your wife. Now, what are we going to talk about? If husbands have an exalted opinion about themselves and reject this truth, then the idea of praying to the Lord and being in communion with Him is nothing but fantasy. It's self-deception. It's the husband trying to convince himself that he is fine, that despite his own pride and stubbornness, he's tight with the Lord. Peter says, no, Mr. Husband, the heavens are brass. Your prayers are actually falling to the ground like lead bars, not sailing up like helium balloons. This is the knowledge that Peter has in mind when he exhorts husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. For a husband to honor his wife, he has to have knowledge about her, and Peter supplies the knowledge that a husband needs. A husband needs to honor his wife's unique design as a weaker vessel. This is not talking about honoring sinful traits. Sin is always sin, wherever it's found. Whether it's emotionalism or fear or laziness, whatever, that's not a sign of weakness. That's not the weakness that Peter is talking about. That's just sin, and sin is in a different category. But God has designed the wife, and the husband needs to honor her. The husband honors his wife's weakness in a practical way by doing things that she is physically not able to do or is very difficult for her to do. He honors her by helping her in her physical chores. He honors her position of weakness by appreciating what she did by becoming his wife. Do you know what a wife does when she stands there and says, I do what she's doing? She's placing herself in an incredibly vulnerable position. You are now going to determine so much for my life. And I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to follow that. That's what she's doing. She's handing it over. Says, yes, I'm trusting you to do that. I'm trusting you. And do you know what an incredible honor that is for a man to have somebody say that? I do. I will submit to you. I will follow you. I am trusting you to lead me. I am trusting my welfare into your hands. Peter says, honor that action. Honor it. Realize what that means. Don't take it for granted. Oh, it's nothing. Hey, wife, get me some more food. Honor. Honor that. It's an incredible thing. You need to, husbands and men, young men, need to meditate on that. What actually is going on there? When the wife says, I do. A terrifying thought. But not if the man is a godly man. Not if the man has knowledge. Not if he knows, yes, indeed, I'm going to protect you with my life. I'm going to lay my life down for you because I know what you have given to me. A husband is to honor his wife because she is a vital component to God's plan of redemption. Because God's plan is accomplished through the effective working of the family unit. It's all about the different parts working together and creating this unstoppable movement. That's what it is. The family is at the core. It's a beautiful thing. And the husband honors his wife in her calling. Now, while each husband and wife relationship will be unique, the foundation is always the same. And when the foundation is in place, these foundations that we've been looking at, the rest flows naturally. When wives are submissive with a quiet and gentle spirit and husbands honor their wives as the weaker vessel, you have the foundation of a beautiful structure. Whatever develops upon that foundation will be powerful, it will be effective, and it will be exceedingly beautiful. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we thank you that you have not left us to find out our own ways and paths, by ourselves, but you have given us knowledge. And I pray that through the power of the Spirit that we would understand, we would embrace, and we would walk in terms of this glorious knowledge. I do pray for our families, our marriages in this church, Lord. I pray that you would help the husbands to understand why they are honoring their wives. And I pray that you would help us as husbands to live in this way with knowledge and understanding, and that you would cause to rise beautiful structures that manifest the wisdom and the glory and the power of heaven itself. So we thank you for this truth. We thank you for these teachings. And we give you the praise and the glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.